I have a crisp $20 bill. How many of you could use 20 bucks? Like only half of you? Seriously? The other half don't want $20? I want to give this to somebody. I really do. This is a real $20 bill. It is actually an actual $20 bill, and I really do want to give this to someone. And I'm wondering how many of you, as I say that, are thinking, oh, I hope he calls me. Anybody? I hope he calls me. I had some earlier in the first service came to me afterwards, and they're like, oh, please. I was thinking, I hope he really doesn't call me. So I want you to think about that for a minute. I hope he calls me. That word hope, I want you to think about what you mean by I hope he calls me. Because I imagine there are, with that, feelings of excitement. Maybe for some, like those that said, you know, at first service, they were a little bit nervous because they thought I was going to come down from the stage and I was going to, you know, pick one of them out and I was going to hand them a $20 bill and they'd be embarrassed. So maybe there's some of that going on, but whatever, there's feelings that are happening as a part of that hope. Part of that hope is there's an expectation that I'm going to come down from the stage and I'm going to hand you this $20 bill. So there's an activity, there's an experience that's going to happen, and that's part of that hope. The truth is that I'm not going to give this to anybody. I'm keeping it. So I just dashed your hope. I just took your hope, body slammed it on the ground, and then stomped on it with my foot. And I want you to think about that in your life, because the reality is that every single one of us, there are things that we're hoping for. There are things that we're wanting. There are expectations that we have. There are certain things that we want to see happen in our lives, in our world, around us, in the lives of other people. But the truth is, what happens when your feelings of hope are not met? What happens when that experience that you're looking for or that circumstance that you're wanting to work out the way you want it to work out doesn't work out the way you want it to work out? Does that mean that hope is lost? Does that mean that hope is gone? Does that mean that there is no hope? I mean, if hope is just based on feelings and based on experiences, because that's what the dictionary defines hope as. The dictionary defines hope as a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. Well, if that's what hope is, and if it's just limited to our feelings and our circumstances, then here's the deal. You will never find true hope. You will never find true hope if all it is your feelings getting met the way you want them to be met, and circumstances or some desire that you have for a certain thing to happen. If that's all that hope is, then my friend, you will never find true hope. So I want to ask the question, what if? What if hope is much more than a feeling? What if hope is much more than your circumstances? What if you could find hope even if certain feelings or events go unrealized? As you think about that, ask yourself, am I hopeful or am I hopeless? And as you think about that, I want you to watch this video from the Bible Project.
So let's say you want to describe the feeling of anticipating a future that's better than the present. You might be giddy or excited or maybe unsure, but most of us know that experience. We call it hope. It's a state of anticipation, and it's crucial for healthy human existence. And it's a really important concept in the Bible. In fact, there are many words for hope in the ancient languages of the Bible, and they're all fascinating. In the Old Testament, there are two main Hebrew words translated as hope. The first is yachal, which means simply to wait for. Like in the story of Noah and the Ark, as the floodwaters recede, Noah had to yachal for weeks. The other Hebrew word is kava, which also means to wait. It's related to the Hebrew word kav, which means cord. When you pull a kav tight, you produce a state of tension until there's release. That's kava, the feeling of tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. The prophet Isaiah depicts God as a farmer who plants vines and kavahs for good grapes. Or the prophet Micah talks about farmers who both kavah and yachal for morning dew to give moisture to the land. So in biblical Hebrew, hope is about waiting or expectation. But waiting for what? In the period of Israel's prophets, as the nation was sinking into self-destruction, Isaiah said, "At this moment, the Lord's hiding his face from Israel, so I will kavah for him." The only hope Isaiah had in those dark days was the hope for God himself. You find the same notion of hope all over the book of Psalms, where these words appear over 40 times. In almost every case, what people are waiting for is God. Like in Psalm 130, the poet cries out from a pit of despair, "I kavah for the Lord, let Israel yachal for the Lord, because he's loyal and will redeem Israel from its sins." Biblical hope is based on a person, which makes it different from optimism. Optimism is about choosing to see, in any situation, how circumstances could work out for the best. But biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. In fact, hopeful people in the Bible often recognize there's no evidence things will get better, but you choose hope anyway. Like the prophet Hosea, he lived in a dark time when Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires, and he chose hope when he said God could turn this valley of trouble into a door of hope, like the day when Israel came up from the land of Egypt. God had surprised his people with redemption back in the days of the Exodus, and he could do so again. So it's God's past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. You look forward by looking backward, trusting in nothing other than God's character. It's like the poet of Psalm 39 who says, "And now, O Lord, what else can I kavah for? You are my yachal." In the New Testament, the earliest followers of Jesus cultivated the similar habit of hope. They believed that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was God's surprising response to our slavery to evil and death. The empty tomb opened up a new door of hope, and they used the Greek word elpis to describe this anticipation. The Apostle Peter said that Jesus' resurrection opened up a living hope, that people can be reborn, to become new and different kinds of humans. More than once, the Apostle Paul says the good news about Jesus announces the elpis of glory. In both cases, this elpis is based on a person, the risen Jesus, who has overcome death. And this hope wasn't just for humans. The apostles believed that what happened to Jesus in the resurrection was a foretaste of what God had planned for the whole universe. In Paul's words, it's a hope that creation itself will be liberated from slavery to corruption into freedom when God's children are glorified. So Christian hope is bold, waiting for humanity and the whole universe to be rescued from evil and death. And some would say it's crazy, and maybe it is. But biblical hope isn't optimism based on the odds. It's a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that's as surprising as a crucified man rising from the dead. Christian hope looks back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward. And so we wait. That's what the biblical words for hope are all about.
If you've never seen the Bible Project, I would definitely encourage you as parents, grandparents, if you have kids, to check out the Bible Project. It is some amazing, amazing stuff, and they have an awesome website. There's YouTube videos just like the one you just saw on all sorts of different topics, and so encourage you to check that out. So again, hope, waiting for with expectation. And one of the things that they ask is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting in? And you think about that. When you think about your life, what is it that you're hoping for? What are the things that you're placing your hope on? Or who is it that you're placing your hope on? Maybe it's someone in your life. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe you're hoping for just the right government or the right amount of money or the right this or the right job or the right whatever. And it just doesn't seem to come to fruition for you. So are you hopeful or are you hopeless? One of the passages that they referred to was Psalm 130. And so I'm going to ask if you would take your Bible and turn to Psalm 130. It's on page 779 in my Bible. I don't know if that helps you or not, but That's where it's at in my Bible. Psalm 130. I love this psalm because David is the one who's writing most of the psalms, and they're prayers, they're songs back to God. And the beauty of these is that he prays his heart. He sings his heart to the Lord. And here's a man who honestly the Bible says is a man after God's own heart, and yet he was a man who struggled with sin. He was a man who fell short of the glory of God often. He was a man who was well acquainted with feelings not being realized, with circumstances not working out the way that he had hoped they would work out. And sometimes those were a result of his sin choices that he made. Sometimes they were a result of sin choices that were made against him by other people. But the truth is that all of us face that. All of us struggle with sin. All of us choose to sin at times in our lives. We choose to ignore God's plan and we choose to go our own way. And as a result, there is these consequences that happen in our lives. Not only oftentimes are we the ones who choose sin, but a lot of times we're on the receiving end of sin of someone else's choice. And yet we are called to hope. We're called to wait on God. We're called to see the beauty even in the midst of difficulty. And David would write about that all the time, wouldn't he? That's one of the things I love about reading the Psalms is that as you read them, you can see yourself in them. You can hear your words in them. There's times where David is like, "Where are you, God? How long is this going to continue, God? Why aren't you answering me, God? What is happening? Why are my enemies continuing to come against me? What is the deal with this, God?" And I love that about him. He is just open before God. He's willing to pray his heart to God. And it doesn't seem like God condemns him for that. But he welcomes it. And one of the things that I love about David is even though he writes, sometimes some of the things that he writes seem really dark and really unsettling, he always comes back to truths about God. Remember in the video, one of the things that he said about hoping for what's ahead is by looking at what's behind. That's one of the things that I love about David is that he does that over and over and over again. Even though his future, to him, he couldn't see. Even though he struggled with things, he still would look back and see the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the forgiveness of God. All of these things, the faithfulness of God, all of these attributes of God, as he would look forward with hope to who Jesus is, and he would look back and see how God had worked in his life and was working in his life. And it's no different in Psalm 130. In Psalm 130, he says, verse 1, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record or should mark my iniquity, kept a record of my sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord." There's that word wait, that word that they use, those two Hebrew words that are talking about hope. I hope for the Lord. My soul waits. My soul hopes for the Lord. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him is plentiful redemption. He will redeem Israel from all their iniquity, all their sin. Verse 1, verse 2, do you hear the feelings that he's struggling with? Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Out of the depths, out of this dark place, out of these difficult circumstances, out of these difficult feelings that I am struggling with and that I'm wrestling with, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. May your ears be attentive to my voice, my pleas for mercy. Do you hear those feelings that he's wrestling with. Maybe you're right there with him on that. Maybe that's where you're feeling like, this is me. This is my heart. This is me saying this. And maybe even right now in this moment, you would pray that to God and say, God, hear me. From the depths I cry to you. Lord, I cry out to you. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice. And yet it's not in those feelings that he finds hope. He wrestles with his feelings. He wrestles with those different things that are going on in his life that are causing these feelings, but it's not even there that he finds hope. Verses 3 and 4, he says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities. In other words, what he's saying is, if you would keep record of my sin to use against me. See, isn't that the beauty of God? God doesn't, he doesn't mark our sin. He doesn't count our sin against us. He doesn't use it against us. He wants to set us free from it. He wants us to experience forgiveness. And listen to what he says. If you, O Lord, would mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? The truth is, none of us could. None of us. None of us are righteous. None of us are seeking after him in and of our own self. We're not righteous. We don't have the ability to have forgiveness of our own sin. We can't pay that penalty for our sin. So if the Lord were to mark those against us, there's no way any of us could stand. But what did God do? He poured out his wrath. He poured out the wrath he has for sin against his son Jesus, on his son Jesus. Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that you and I can be the righteousness of God, so that you and I can have forgiveness. That's why in verse 4 it says, but with you there is forgiveness so that you may be feared, so that I can have reverence and awe of you. What a beautiful thing. But even to realize that it's not in those circumstances, it's not in these circumstances that are happening in his life that he's finding hope. I can't base my hope on my feelings. I can't base hope on my circumstances. So David, where do you base your hope? Where do you find your hope, David? Where in this darkness? Where in this difficulty? Where in your sin choices are you finding hope? Verse 5, he says, I wait for the Lord. Notice what he says, I wait for the Lord. I hope for the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. My soul waits. My soul finds hope in the Lord. In the Lord is where I find my hope. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. What is he saying to us? He's saying, my hope is in the Lord, and it's so strong. It's so powerful that it's what I long to do is hope in him and in him alone. Not in my feelings, not in my circumstances, not in others around me. I put my hope in the Lord. Because the truth is that our feelings will betray us. Your circumstances may never get better. People may let you down. Not may, they will let you down. And I don't know about you, but I know I let myself down. I mean, like Paul, where Paul says, I know the good I ought to do, but I don't do it. Instead, I end up doing the things that I hate. I end up doing the things that I don't want to do. And in me, there's this war, this battle that's going on. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I want to choose the right direction. Do you identify with that? Do you struggle with the choices that you make at times? Sin so easily entangles us. But my hope is in the Lord, not in myself, not in other people. My hope is in the Lord. My soul waits in his word, I hope. And isn't that a beautiful thing? He gives to us a practical way to put our hope in the Lord through his word. Can I ask you a question? So you may know Jesus as your, you may have a relationship with Jesus, but how much time are you spending in his word? Because it's in his word that we find our what we need. It's through this book that he has given us, love letter that he has given us, that as we read it and as we apply it in our lives, as we put it into action, it becomes more and more clear to us who God is and what he can do in our lives. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to obey it. Y'all, we just spent some weeks on talking about the fact that we should do all things without grumbling and complaining. Anybody? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. This is not testimonial time, but anybody been struggling with that? Don't raise your hand. I'll just say I have been. All right. Like even today, on my way to church, I'm thinking to myself, "Oh man, it's raining." But then, thanks be to God, he reminded me, well, at least it's not snowing. I'm just saying. But I like snow. Whatever. I found myself on the way here thinking, oh, man, it's raining. Great. Do you know that this is just a side note fact, that churches' attendance is 26% lower when it rains? Churches all across America. That's an honest to God fact. So when it rains for pastors, it's like, oh man, 26% of the church not going to be here today. It's a fact. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how that happens. I don't know why, but it just is. So in my mind, I was like, oh man, it's raining. Don't do everything without complaining and arguing. Whew. There's another verse that it talks about that pray without ceasing. Rejoice in the Lord always. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. How are you doing at obeying that? See, it's one thing to hear the word of God. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to do it. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Where are you placing your hope? Who are you placing your hope in? What are you placing your hope in? God's desire is that you would place your hope in him, that you would wait on him, that as you learn to grow in your faith, that you would grow in your love for him and you would wait on him. Because his hope is a living hope. His hope is a hope that continues to fill our soul. And I love what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again into what? Into a living hope. Through whom? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that does not die, cannot be corrupted, will never fade, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the testing, the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope. Are you hopeful or hopeless? As we dive into this hopeful expectation, as we dive into what it means to see that Jesus came, and that as he came, hope came to this world. And that we have hope from, yes, we have hope from the past, we have hope for today, and we have hope for the future, because not only did Jesus come once, but he is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again, and it may be sooner than later. Jesus may return, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But are we ready for it? Are we anticipating it? Are we looking for it, just as my soul waits for the Lord? More than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning, he says. What's that? That's the anticipation of the next day. That something great is going to happen. That something is on the horizon. That something that's on the horizon in our lives is Jesus coming again. He's coming again. And we don't know when, but we're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be watching, ready in anticipation that he's coming again. And what that means is that not only are we preparing ourselves, but we're also going out into this world and helping others get prepared. And I love that about Psalm 130, because not only does David make this about himself, but look at verse 7. He flips it and he says, O Israel, now it's become this corporate big thing. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their sin. See, this is the beauty of God, is that his hope is not just for you and not just for me and not just for Israel. His hope is for all. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he can redeem us all from our sin. So what do? We, with hopeful anticipation, expectation that Jesus Christ is going to come again, we go and we tell others about that hope. Can they see it in us? Will they hear it in our words? Will they see it in our actions? And as we go, we share the good news of Jesus with others. All the way from the beginning, when Jesus Christ came, lying in a manger, and those angels were out with the shepherds, and they were telling him about this one who was born in Bethlehem. What did they do? They went to see it with their own eyes. And then the Bible says they went out proclaiming what they had saw to everyone they came in contact with. That's hopeful. That's hopeful expectations. Are you hopeful or hopeless? One last question. I asked you earlier if you would ask God to speak to your heart. I wonder, what is he speaking to you about today? Would you write it down? Would you do me a favor? Get out your phone and text somebody right now what it is that God is speaking to your heart. A couple people posted on Facebook today. I was like, oh, sweet, that's so awesome. A couple people made some Instagram whatever's on there, and I was like, sweet, that's so cool. Text somebody. Be like, hey, I'm in church, and our pastor asked us to ask God to speak to our hearts. This is what God is speaking to my heart. I know this doesn't make any sense, and I'll talk to you about it later. You just open up a door for an opportunity to share with somebody. So do it. Get your phone out. Text somebody. You're like, dude, I can text in church? Yes, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. Make a meme. Whatever. Some of y'all younger people do that. Share what God is speaking to you about today. And then challenge. Ask God to lead you to share that with someone this coming week. And by the way, I know I say this. If you need some practice, you can share it with me. My number will be on the screen. I don't count as the someone this week. Just saying, all right? I'm the other. So you, if you're praying and saying, God, okay, who do you want me to share this with this week? I'm just the practice guy, all right, the practice dummy. You guys need to be practicing it with other people, and as God lays it on your heart, share it with somebody. Hey, will you close your eyes, just bow your head? Again, what's he speaking to you? His desire is that you would be filled with hope. His desire is that you would be filled with him. Honestly, that's the key, right? To be filled, to be hope-filled, to be hopeful means that I'm filled with Christ. Are you? Are you filled with Jesus? Are you seeking after Him? And I don't mean just on Sunday for an hour a week. I'm talking about day in, day out, moment by moment, seeking a desire, filling a desire that you have for Christ. You may be here and you're like, you know what, I don't even know Jesus. Well, then, my friend, for you, that's where it starts. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Begin that relationship. He wants that. He longs for that today. So if you're here and you don't know Him, then why not start that relationship with Him right now? If you know Him, are you continually pursuing after Him every day? Every moment of every day? Even in the tough times, even when you're struggling, even when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through in your life, are you striving to know Him more? He loves you. You can't change that. No matter what you do, no matter how bad it gets, He still loves you. And you can't change that about God. Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You that You offer to us a living hope. And that living hope is Jesus. So God, would You help us to be willing to say yes, to let You work in each of our hearts, to draw us near to You, to be filled up with Christ, so that we have a filled hope, eagerly expecting any time Jesus return. God, thanks. Thanks for what You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You for each one here today, and we ask Your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand. Let's sing. This altar's here. If you want to come and pray, I'd love to be able to pray with you. It's here for you. Let's sing.